Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, and welcome to another Sunday edition of Contending for the Faith with the one and only Moses Henry Jones. Well, my brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you all in the wonderful, in the glorious, in the majestic, in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And today is the 8th day of December 2019. The year is almost over, but you know what's not over? What's not over is our assignment. And what is our assignment? It is to put out a big dragnet. That was the song. That was the theme song to the popular, very popular television series, Dragnet. And Jesus, in the Gospels, Synoptic Gospels to be more specific, talks about a dragnet. A dragnet which shall be put out on the last day to pull in, to arrest, to convict, to sentence all of the evildoers on the face of the earth. And that includes false teachers like Jensen Franklin. Boy, is Jensen Franklin a false teacher extraordinaire. I'm telling you, listen, this guy is dangerous. But the beautiful thing is that the Lord has provided you, dear listener, you, my dear brothers and sisters, with a show like this that will help you understand what kind of a false teacher Jensen Franklin is. And listen, there's no doubt. There is no doubt that Jensen Franklin is a false teacher extraordinaire. Well, before we get into today's broadcast, let me remind everyone that you can have the free outlines to these broadcasts by simply mailing me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. These outlines are complimentary, Mr. Franklin. The number here, I'm giving out this number to Mr. Franklin. Now, he's supposedly preaching right now, but you never know. You never know if he is shaking in his boots and can't preach this morning and might be tuning into the broadcast. The number here, Mr. Franklin, once again, is area code 516-418-5978, 516-418-5978. And Mr. Franklin wants to call in, or if he wants to send one of his lackeys to call in, one of his stooges to call in to defend him, by all means, call in. Call in. Well, my brothers and sisters, again, the outlines are free. All you got to do is email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. And the outline, now, I want you to have the outlines because I want you to follow me. I want you to see how I dissect Jensen Franklin's idiotic sermon entitled "The Jezebel's Children." This is a dangerous sermon, because it peddles dangerous teaching, dangerous teaching. The kind of teaching that the apostles, when writing to the churches, warned of, that we should stay away from false teachers like Jensen Franklin and to stay away from the false teaching that men like Jensen Franklin peddle. And he is peddling false teaching. Well, listen, if you want the books, the trilogy, Spirit of Python Dunce, Spirit of Python Ignoramus, and Spirit of Python Retard, all you have to do is email me again at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Say, Brother Jones, can I please have that trilogy on Jensen Franklin and his idiotic teaching on the Spirit of Python? I wrote a trilogy that dismantles, that obliterates, that blows out of the water Jensen Franklin's New York Times bestseller. Can you imagine? This guy was teaching false doctrine, and that false doctrine became a New York Times bestseller? Well, I am giving away this trilogy. Close to 500 pages. Each book averages 150 pages. So when you combine all three, it's close to 500 pages. Over 750 footnotes. 30 chapters. You got one book is, the first book is 9 chapters, the second book is 10 chapters, and the third book is 11 chapters. You get 30 chapters in total. Spirit of Python Dunce, showing how Jensen Franklin's idiotic interpretation of Acts 16:16 proves he's a biblical moron. And then, of course, the Ignoramus book, which is volume 2, and the Retard book. Because what I want to show in this trilogy, and which I happen to do quite well, is to prove that instead of graduating up, you know, like someone does when they go to junior high school, they go to high school, and then when they graduate high school, they go to college. Well, instead of graduating up, Jensen Franklin actually graduated down. He went from dunce, which is pretty low, to ignoramus, which is even lower, to retard, which is even lower than ignoramus. You got to get the book. So, again, email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. And you know, my dear brothers and sisters, that I did a 95 thesis. As you know, I have written numerous books on the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church. If you like to have the book, Crybaby Jackass Bishops, I can send you that. If you want the book entitled Nehushtan Idolized Bishops, I can send you that. But more importantly, I have here on this internet radio platform, I have here 95 broadcasts, 95 different shows where I show you I did a thesis, you know, like Martin Luther did a thesis to start the Protestant Reformation. Well, I did a 95 thesis, 95 broadcasts, detailing the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church. And when you look at the black church in America, you're going to see people all over the place. I don't think there is a church left. I don't think there is a church left where you don't have a bishop. But he's not the bishop you used to know. No, these new bishops are dressed in Roman Catholic clothing, and what comes out of their mouth is Roman Catholic gibberish. And they are stooges of Antichrist's end-time apostate church. So check out the 95 thesis. So many of you already have. You love it. You keep sending me these emails how you're being blown away by the teaching. I appreciate that. And how you love the books on the Roman Catholic invasion of the African-American church. Listen, my brothers and sisters, we are here for you. We are here for you. To help you understand what's going on in the church, because a great many of you are going to church where all you're getting in the morning, like a day like today, all you're getting is apostate Kool-Aid. So much Kool-Aid is being served up in the church today, and we just want to help you. Listen, we don't want you to drink Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid of any kind. Well, my brothers and sisters, Jensen Franklin has recently done the impossible. I thought when I did the research on his book, The Spirit of Python, his New York Times bestseller, and I wrote the trilogy, I thought the man couldn't get any dumber. I didn't think. But 6 years later, after writing his New York Times bestseller, The Spirit of Python, because he wrote it in 2013, he has recently preached the message this year in July. He recently preached the message called Jezebel's Children. And I thought it was impossible to get more retarded. I thought it was impossible. But he proved me wrong. Listen, Jensen Franklin, to give you some perspective, Jensen Franklin has created a new category of false teaching. You know, Paul the Apostle warned us when he wrote to Timothy in that epistle. He said to Timothy, listen, the end times are going to be perilous times, for men shall be peddling doctrines of demons. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Jensen Franklin has single-handedly created a new category of false teachings. And I've coined it, doctrines of dimwits, because everything that comes out of Jensen Franklin's mouth proves that he's super duper retarded. So the man has created a new category of false teaching, doctrines of dimwits. Listen, not doctrines of demons, but doctrines of dimwits, doctrines put forth by a biblical ignoramus, by a theological dunce. That's what he is. And he's created a new category of followers. New category, single-handedly. New category. You have Pentecostals, which I happen to be a Pentecostal. For all of you out there who say, oh, he must be Baptist or Presbyterian, or he must be, you know, Reformed. No, I'm Pentecostal. The Pentecostal church does have biblical scholars, you know. So I happen to be classical Pentecostal. But within Pentecostalism, you have that fringe group called the Charismatics. That's a fringe group. And then beyond the Charismatics, you have the Charismaniacs, which are crazier than the Charismatics. Then far crazier than the Charismaniacs are the Crazy Costals. But then you have that group that Jensen Franklin has created that goes way, listen, you have Pentecostals, right? You have Pentecostals. Then you have Charismatics. Following the charismatics, you have the charismaniacs. Following the charismaniacs, you have the crazy costals. But way out there, they reside in the Twilight Zone. That's where these people reside. Remember the old TV show, The Twilight Zone? Remember the old TV show, Outer Limits? Well, they're way out there in the outer limits of theology. And Jensen Franklin's group, the group he created, is the group that I call the retard costals. The retard costals. So we are analyzing, we are dissecting a sermon put forth by this man this past July. It's called Jezebel's Children. And I've done three shows on his sermon, three shows. Now, let me just encourage everyone. Don't take shortcuts when you listen to this broadcast. Let me encourage you not to skip any of the broadcast. Let me strongly encourage you to listen to every broadcast. So if you're coming in today, if this is your first broadcast, you're coming into broadcast number four, let me strongly encourage you to listen to broadcast number one, listen to broadcast two, and listen to broadcast three, and then listen to broadcast four again, because they're interconnected. I am a teacher, and I want to teach you step by step why this man is dangerous and why you need to stay away from this man. And let me also say, there are many of you who are listening to me today who are preachers and teachers, and you're just as crazy, you're just as retarded, you're just as Dunsonian as Jensen Franklin. And let me remind you preachers out there that there is one day you're going to stand before Christ. Paul says to the church, he says, now remember you saints that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And James says that those of us who are teachers, this is James chapter 3, verse 1 and following, he says, listen, don't desire to be a teacher. Why? Because teachers shall have a greater judgment. You're going to have to render an account. And so many of you watch TBN, you watch the Word Network, you watch the Impact Network, you watch God TV, you watch the Daystar Television Network. And what you do is you don't prepare your sermons. You go on, you listen to a sermon being preached by one of these crazy costals, one of these charismaniacs. You write down a few notes, and then you go to your pulpit on Sunday and you parrot that garbage. Shame on you. Shame on you. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shame on you for not doing due diligence. Shame on you for not hitting the books. Shame on you for not looking at different concordances and Bible dictionaries and encyclopedias and Greek lexicons and Hebrew lexicons. Shame on you for not doing your work as a gospel minister should. All you're doing is parroting what other people say, and you're running around like a loon, talking about this spirit and that spirit, and talking about this demon and that demon. And listen, it's a pandemic out there. It's a pandemic. So let me encourage you to listen to each broadcast, and when you listen to each broadcast, just follow the outline that I have before you, because I am systematically dismantling. I am systematically taking apart every stupid thing that Jensen Franklin has said is gospel truth, but it is not. The man is an idiotic preacher. Idiotic. All right, now, let's listen to Mr. Franklin, and let's just listen to a few minutes of his reading of Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29, because that is the basis for his sermon. Verses of scripture that he is using to talk about his theme, Jezebel's Children. So let's listen to Jensen Franklin as he reads. And by the way, you will notice that the man can't read. The man, this 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 preacher who's been in the pulpit, I don't know, 30-plus years, the man enters into the pulpit and can't read the text, cannot fluidly read the text, has a problem reading in English, didn't prepare. You know, Paul says to Timothy, he says, give attendance to reading. Timothy, practice your reading. Make sure that when you read before the congregation, you're not bumbling and mumbling, which is what Jensen Franklin does here. So let's listen to Mr. Franklin. And listen, that's just a prelude. If he's bumbling and mumbling while reading the text, you can expect the fool to bumble and mumble when he's preaching. Here is Mr. Franklin.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, I don't have time to read that. Verse 18, and the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith, your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this, now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart, that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children.
There you have it. He read the scriptures, and he claims that God laid this heavy, the Lord laid this heavy on my heart, and I got to share with you about Jezebel's children. All right, so now let's go to our outline, and you know that you have a bundle outline, which means that I send you all the outlines at one time, and what you have to do is you have to scroll down to the present broadcast, and so all of your outlines are color-coded, and you want to go to the last outline, which is in orange. The Contending for the Faith with Moses Henry Jones is in orange, so you got to scroll down, and basically you want to be looking at page number 7. You're going to pass the picture of the pillars. Once you pass the picture of the five pillars, then you're gonna, which is page 6. Now you're going to come to page number 7. The title is in orange, and the broadcast number is 220, and this is part 4 in the series, which means that a great many of you who are tuning in today for the first time, you've missed part 1, part 2, part 3, which I encourage you to go back and listen to, because if you don't, you have missed a great deal of very important information. So this is we're looking at the orange heading, broadcast number 220, part 4, and the broadcast date is December the 8th, 2019. In my introduction, I have here dismantling the first faulty interpretation pillar in Jensen Franklin's sermon, Jezebel's Children. Dismantling the first faulty interpretative or interpretation pillar in Jensen Franklin's sermon, Jezebel's Children. Now, I told you yesterday, and if you listened to yesterday's broadcast, you already know that Jensen Franklin's sermon stands upon 5 erroneous didactic pillars. In other words, he's got 5 teachings, 5 key points in his sermon, which I will show you are completely erroneous. They are, if you base your understanding on his faulty interpretations, you are being led astray. And he's got 5 key faulty interpretation pillars. Today and in the following broadcast, I'm gonna take 3 shows, starting with today. There's going to be 2 more that follow. I'm going to do 3 shows on pillar number 1. I'm going to take 3 shows just to show you how this man is completely way off, okay? So this is pillar number 1, and pillar number 1 is this. This is the claim that Franklin makes in pillar number 1. He claims that the woman called Jezebel in Revelation 2:20 is actually a malevolent spirit and not a wicked woman. That's what he claims. Now, let's read the text. This is Jesus speaking. He says, nevertheless, he's speaking to the pastor of the Church of Thyatira. This was addressed to the angel. And by way of the angel, then the angel was supposed to communicate it to the church members. But he says to the angel of the church, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman, and I have the word woman there in bold, you have allowed that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I put that in bold. I put the word woman in bold. All right, so now let me play it back for you. Let me just take you back, and let me just show you where Jensen Franklin now tells us that the woman in the text is not a woman but a spirit. All right, let's go back. Let me take you back to 4 minutes. Let me take you back to 4 minutes just to show you. All right, let me go back. All right, let's see. Oh, here we go.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, I don't have time to read that. Verse 18, and the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith. Your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But
notice he says, I want all the women to relax because it's not that kind of a sermon. In other words, it's not a sermon attacking the female gender is what he's saying. But notice he says that woman, and then he tells the women in the audience, I want all the women to relax because it's not that kind of a sermon. I'm not here to beat up on you ladies today. That's what he's saying. Okay, so notice, he reads that it's a woman, and then he tells the women, he addresses the women in the audience, and he says, calm down, I'm not here to shoot arrows at you, ladies. It's not that kind of a sermon. So he didn't address the spirits in the room. He didn't address the demons in the room. When he read that portion of the scripture that says that woman Jezebel, he now turns his attention to the women and say, ladies. So notice, he reads women, and then afterwards he addresses women in his church. Okay? All right. Now that's a little subtlety that you missed, but I didn't miss. All right. That most people miss. I didn't miss that.
Who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith, your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon.
See? Did you hear that? He read that woman Jezebel. Then he says, women, relax. Not that kind of a sermon. Okay? Okay. Now, listen to what he says next. This is vitally important because this is one of his faulty interpretation pillars. This is one of the pillars in which his doctrine of dimwits sermon is founded upon.
But I don't, because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really.
He says, which is that you allow that woman, which is really a reference to a spirit. Jezebel's not really a woman. Jezebel is really a spirit. Now, this goes back to what I told you and I proved to you in my series on the spirit of Python, in my trilogy. I prove to you again and again and again that Jensen Franklin is a pandemonist. What is a pandemonist? A pandemonist is a Christian or a so-called Christian or a professing Christian, right? This is a false teacher who is, clothed in wool and sheep's clothing. A pandemonist is a person who sees demons everywhere. When he opens the refrigerator, he sees a demon. When he opens the dryer to put the wet clothes in the dryer, he sees a demon. When he pulls up the lid on the toilet bowl to urinate, he sees a demon. When he opens the door to his car in the back seat, he sees a demon. He sees a demon in everything. If he stubs his toe, a demon did it. Okay, if he drops a cup of sugar and it spills all over the floor, a demon did it. These people blame demons for everything, and they see demons everywhere, and they see demons in all the passages of the Bible. This is a pandemonist. A pandemonist is a person obsessed with demons. And within the charismatic groups, you have major pandemonists. Among the charismaniacs and the crazy costals and now the retard costals, that's all they see. Demons this, demons that. You have the Ahab spirit, and then you have the Leviathan spirit, and then and these spirits do this, and the sneaky squid spirit. And listen, there are so many different spirits. It's insane. Insanity. So now notice, the text says, that woman Jezebel. And he says, ladies, calm down, because I'm not talking to you. So he understood that the text says woman, and then he looks at the women in his church, and he says, listen, this is not a sermon that I'm going to preach today to attack you. This is not really about you women. But it is talking about a woman. He did concur. It is, but then he tells us, it's not really a woman. It's a spirit. Okay? So let's listen to that again, because this is the first pillar. The first pillar. The one. This is the one that I need to knock down first. It's the first one he mentions, and it's the one that I need to bulldoze down.
More than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really.
Really? No, it's a reference to a woman. It's not a reference to a spirit. And this is Jesus talking now. This is not Jensen talking. This is Jesus. What Jensen Franklin is trying to do is alter the words of Jesus, alter the meaning of the word that Jesus used. He has no authority to do that. But let's listen in a little bit more.
Calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches. And it is a picture and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself compliments, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there's certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia has. But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in. I promise this is going to hit you right where you're living. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children.
There you go. So Jezebel went from being a woman to being a spirit. That's his claim. Okay? You got it? All right. The spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel. Now, he told us that the woman being referred to in Revelation 2:20 is not a woman, but a spirit. Here's some more.
And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things, and if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts.
All right, so you heard him once again. You heard him once again say that Jezebel is a spirit. All right, so now let's go to the outline. Let's go to the outline, my dear brothers and sisters, and let's begin to hit this teaching with the sledgehammer of Scripture. Okay? Because, like I said, this guy is a retard costal. He's way beyond crazy costal. He's a retard costal. Okay? All right. So now, what is his first claim? He claims that the woman called Jezebel in Revelation 2:20 is actually a malevolent spirit and not a wicked woman. All right. Now, it says here, nevertheless, this is Jesus speaking, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. All right, so please know, I have three bullet points here, three bullet points. The first bullet point. Please note that Jesus called the person in Revelation 2:20 a woman, a Jezebel. Please note that. It wasn't the serpent in the garden who appeared to John and said, the woman is a Jezebel. No. It's not the lying, deceiving serpent. It's not the devil himself who's saying this to John. It's Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. Jesus brings truth. So at this point, you have to ask yourself, Jesus said it's a woman, But Jensen Franklin says it's a spirit. Who, my brothers and sisters, are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the master? Are you going to believe our rabbi, our ultimate teacher? You know, Jesus said, don't call any man rabbi, because I'm your rabbi. I'm your teacher. You have no ultimate teacher but me. So who are you going to listen to? Jesus called her a woman, a Jezebel, but Jensen Franklin says she is a spirit, a demonic spirit. So now you have a problem. You have a problem because who are you going to believe? And if you believe Jensen, then you have taken the words of Jesus and essentially flushed them down the toilet. You have given the words of Jesus no weight. You've given the words of Jesus no credence. And yet you are believing Jensen Franklin's baloney that this is a spirit. Okay, bullet point number two. Please note that John the Apostle was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he recorded that Jesus called the person in Revelation 2:20 a woman, a Jezebel. If you go to Revelation chapter 1, let's go to Revelation 1. Revelation 1:10, John tells us as he is writing this letter, he says, it says here in Revelation 1:10, this is what John says, just to let us know that he wasn't smoking weed and he wasn't snorting cocaine when he had these visions. It says here in Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as that of many trumpets, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, John, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Notice, John was in the Spirit. He was Holy Ghost inspired. The Holy Ghost, he was Holy Ghost led so that he would write down things without error. This is why, my brothers and sisters, you have to disregard what Jensen Franklin said, because John wrote down what Jesus told them. Jesus doesn't lie. Jesus called her a woman, and he named the woman. He gave her the moniker Jezebel, which was an indication that she mimicked the Jezebel of 1 Kings and 2 Kings. So Jesus called her a woman, and John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit, his pen was being influenced by the Holy Spirit, he wrote down Jesus' words without making a mistake. That's why we love the Bible. That's why we can trust the Bible, because it's Holy Ghost inspired and nothing in it contains error. Yet Jensen Franklin wants us to believe that she's not a woman, she's a spirit. Okay. Bullet point number two. But now, Franklin wants us to blindly accept. Blindly. He wants blind obedience. Jensen Franklin wants blind obedience from you and me. Jensen Franklin wants us to blindly accept, to close our eyes, and cover our ears and not to hear his stupidity. He wants us to blindly accept that the person being referred to in Revelation 2:20 is not what Jesus claimed she was, a woman, a Jezebel, but rather a malevolent spirit he and his fellow pandemonists call the spirit of Python, or rather the spirit of Jezebel. She's not a woman, but she's the spirit of Jezebel. She's the spirit of Jezebel. No, it's not a spirit. It's a woman. And Jesus was specific. This is a woman. John was specific. It was a woman. The Holy Ghost was specific. It was a woman. But yet, Jensen Franklin wants you and me to drink the Kool-Aid that this woman is not a woman, but actually the spirit of Jezebel. All right, so now we have two kinds of books that we're going to be looking at to prove Jensen Franklin wrong. The first category of books are called Bible concordances. Bible concordances. And there are three wonderful, wonderful Bible concordances which every pastor should have. Every aspiring minister should have. In fact, if I was pastoring a church today, I would make sure that my church members would have these three concordances in their homes. I would make sure that every home in my church, every family that I pastored had these three concordances in their home, so that when I preach or anybody else preaches, the saints can go back home and act like the Bereans, check the scriptures to see if what we preached or taught was according to the Bible. So now I put on the top here the Cruden's Concordance, because the Cruden's Concordance was Spurgeon's favorite concordance. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was the prince of preachers, couldn't stop raving about the Cruden's Concordance. He told people, "Oh, you got to get this concordance." Spurgeon raved about it, so I have it on top. And this is what the Cruden's Concordance says. It says it gives you before it gives you all the places where the word woman is found in the Old and New Testament. It gives you this little synopsis of what is a woman, so that you can understand. So that you can biblically understand what the Bible is saying when it refers to a woman. So that you don't have to guess. And if a preacher like Jensen Franklin tries to peddle a lie, you can go to your concordance and say, "Wait a minute, that's not what the concordance says, Mr. Franklin. This is what the Bible says a woman is. A woman is not a malevolent spirit. A woman, if the woman's name happens to be Jezebel, it is not a demonic spirit of Jezebel. It actually happens to be a woman who has the name." So this is what Cruden says on the top of his listing of all the Bible verses that have the word woman in the Old and in the New Testament. This is a summary of what a woman is. It says, "God, having created all the animals in pairs, male and female, and having brought them to Adam that he might give them names, in this review that Adam made of all living creatures, he could not observe that any one of them was like unto himself or created for him." And those are the scriptures, Genesis 2:19 through 20. "But God was pleased to give him a companion and assistant, as he had done to all the other creatures. He therefore cast Adam into a profound sleep, and when he was fast asleep, God took a rib out of his side, of which he formed the woman. When Adam awoke, he perceived it and cried out and said, 'This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called by a name derived from that of man.'" What is that name? Woman. "Because she is taken out of man." You see the importance of having a good concordance? Now, does Mr. Alexander Cruden claim that a woman is a demon or an evil spirit? No, that would be insanity. Nobody would buy his concordance. That would be just a bunch of stupid talk on the part of Alexander Cruden if he claimed that a woman was actually a malevolent spirit. Now let's go to the Strong's Concordance. I highly recommend that you have a Strong's Concordance. And by the way, when you buy these concordances, do not buy the abridged version. Buy the unabridged version. Make sure that you get a full, because listen, they have expensive concordances, and they have cheap ones. If you buy a cheap concordance that doesn't bring everything, you're going to be mad at yourself that you didn't spend $10 more to get the unabridged version. Get the concordance that has everything. It may cost you $10 more, but you listen, you're going to be happy. You're going to be disappointed if you buy the rinky-dink version of Alexander's Concordance or the Strong's Concordance or the Young's Concordance. Okay, so now, looking at the Strong's Concordance, I already gave you what a woman is based on Cruden's summary. I don't need to give you Strong's summary or Young's summary. So what we're doing with Strong and Young, which are the two other concordances, we're just going to look at what they say a woman is. All right, Strong's Concordance. When you look at the citation, when you look at the word woman in your Strong's Concordance, you're going to come up to a scripture that says Revelation 2:20, and it gives you a little portion of the scripture. Says, because thou sufferest that woman. Now notice I put woman in bold. The word woman is given a number. The number is 1135. 1135 tells you that it's referring to a Greek word. The Greek word is gune. Gune. Okay, gune. That's what the Greek word gune can be translated woman or wife. I give you the citations. Now, first, I give you the scripture reference where it's found, Revelation 2:20, and that is footnote number 12. Footnote number 12 is found on page 1,349 in the Strong's Concordance, but 300 pages later, when you go to his Greek lexicon, you find the number 1135, the Greek word gune, and what does that mean? It means woman or wife. Now, that's pretty consistent with what Mr. Cruden said. So Strong's and Cruden's agree. Now, let's look at the Young's Concordance, Robert Young's Analytical Concordance of the Bible. Young has a woman, a wife, a gune. He has Revelation 2:20, because you suffer that woman Jezebel. So notice, all three scholars who spent 30, listen, all of these men spent 30 years plus putting together their concordances. All of these men spent decades. Each one that wrote their, they didn't copy one another. They wrote them in different decades. And they sat down for three decades plus, each man, and listed every word in their Hebrew and Greek findings. That's what they did. And these men studied the Bible like no one else. And in Greek, because the text is found in the Greek New Testament, Revelation was written in Greek, and the word for woman is gune. And it simply means a woman, a wife. That's what it means. All three scholars agree. So looking at your, now I could have given you Greek concordances, but we don't need to beat a dead horse. I could have given you 10 concordances, but we don't need to do that. That's overkill. Okay? All right. Now let's go to Greek lexicons. What's a Greek lexicon? A Greek lexicon, lexicon is a fancy word for dictionary. So the Greek word gune. I give you nine citations. Nine. All right. So if we go to Hickey's Greek English lexicon, a gune is a woman, a wife. All right. Number 16, footnote number 16. This is Barclay's Greek lexicon. All right. And Barclay says that a gune is the feminine. Not the masculine, but the feminine. Woman, wife. All right. Now we go to Greenfield's Greek lexicon. Greenfield's, number 17. Gune, a woman, one of the female sex, a woman betrothed or engaged, a married woman, a wife, a widow, a stepmother. These are all, see, gune can be used for all of these. Do you see any of these people mentioning spirit? Are any of these scholars who studied the Bible, who studied theology, are any of them? Did Cruden said that woman was a spirit? Did Strong say that woman was a spirit? Did Young say that woman was a spirit? No. a woman is a woman. That's what it is. Okay. Now, let's go to D, letter D. Gune again, a woman, a married woman, a wife. That's citation number 18. That comes to us from Thomas Green's Greek and English lexicon. All right? Letter E, gune, again, is used of a woman unmarried or married or a widow. Number 19. Who's number 19? Vine's Expanded Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. Okay? All right, let's go to F. F, agune, a woman, opposite to man, a wife, a spouse. That's number 20. Okay, who blesses us with that definition? Well, Lytle and Scott in their Intermediate Greek English Lexicon. All right. So we're moving along. Now let's go to letter G. Letter G, again, the Greek word gune. It means a woman, used also of a maiden, a damsel. 21. That's Bullinger's A Critical Lexicon and Concordance to the English and Greek New Testament. All right? All right, letter H, gune again. It means a woman, a wife, a young woman, a maiden, a damsel. That's number 22. Who offers us this definition? Spirozodiitis in the Complete Word Study Dictionary New Testament. All right? And letter I, gune again. An adult female person of marriageable age, a woman. And who does that come to us? It comes from Lode and Nida's Greek English Lexicon of the New Testament based on semantic domains. So, my brothers and sisters, Jesus purposely called the woman a woman. And John, under the inspiration and leading of the Holy Spirit, wrote down what Jesus said and called her a woman. And we turn to the concordances, we turn to Crudence and Strong's and Young, and they all tell us that a woman is indeed a woman and not a spirit. Then we turn to 9 lexicons, Greek lexicons, and they're all consistent. A gune is just that, a woman. Now, if the text said pneuma, if it was spelled P-N-U-E-M-A, pneuma, then that would be spirit. But it's not pneuma, it's gune. And gune is a woman, a wife, opposite to that of a man. So, my brothers and sisters, as you can see, we're not taking down this pillar yet. We have started to take it down. But as you can see, Jensen Franklin is just way, way off. Now, Very quickly, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 16, quickly. Acts 16, because I don't want to go beyond an hour, and I already have. I don't want any of these shows to go beyond an hour. Now, in Acts 16:1, it reads, "Then came he," referring to Paul, "to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman," or gune. See, he was the son of a certain woman. So now, if woman means spirit, then we would have to say that Timothy's mother was a spirit. But it doesn't say that. It says a woman. "He was the son of a certain woman," gune, "which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." All right. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Verse 14, it says, "There was a certain gune," not a certain spirit, but a certain gune. What's a gune? "There was a certain woman named Lydia. This Lydia was a seller of purple, and she was from the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God and heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul." So notice, verse 14, "There was a certain gune," or a certain woman, named Lydia. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 34. Acts 17, 34. It says, "Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman, a gune, named Damaris, and others with him." A woman, not a spirit, a woman named Damaris. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 27. It says, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the gune." See, likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned with lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was met. So notice, Paul says, this verse talks about male homosexuality. Men, instead of having intercourse with women, with gune, these men chose to have sex with men. But notice, the text doesn't say that men were having intercourse with spirits, because gune is not a spirit, as Jensen Franklin claims, but it is a gune. A gune is a gune. A gune is a woman. All right. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 2. Or we can start at verse 1. It says in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, but my key verse is verse 2. It says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law doth dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the gune, for the woman which hath a husband, is bound by the law to the husband as long as he liveth." The gune, the woman. Women are bound to their husband as long as that husband is alive. Right? Okay. So we know that. All right. He's not bound to a spirit, but he's bound to a woman, a gune, his counterpart in the flesh. All right. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we want to look at two verses, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a gune." It's good for a man not to be messing with women, not to be engaged in fornication. Now, he can engage with a woman if he's married, but he should not be engaging with a gune. He shouldn't touch a woman unless they're married. Verse 2, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own gune, and let every gune have her own husband. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." In both instances, gune is there for wife and for woman. So as you can see, my brothers and sisters, we are taking apart Jensen Franklin's thesis that Jezebel, the woman named in Revelation 2:20, is not actually a woman, but a demon, a spirit. All right. Now, I want to read as I close out, this scripture, this testimony. It says here in Revelation 21, starting out in verse 18, and this is a warning to Jensen Franklin and all you pastors out there that do exactly what Jensen Franklin is doing. You're twisting the meanings of the words of Jesus. You're twisting the original meaning of the words contained in the Bible, whether it was written by Moses or by Isaiah or by Ezekiel. You're playing fast and loose with the Word of God. But since Jensen Franklin quoted Revelation 2:18 through 29, I want to read to him out of the book of Revelation where it says in chapter 22, Revelation 22:18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things," which is what Jensen Franklin is doing. He's adding to the Word of God. He's putting his own spin on the Word of God. "If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written therein. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So if you add or you take away, you're doomed. Well, my brothers and sisters, that does it for today. I'm going to be back on Tuesday. Not because I can't be back on tomorrow, but I want to give a great many of you a chance to catch up. So I'm going to be back in studio on Tuesday and Wednesday to continue with this first pillar. I want to bash this pillar. I want to break this pillar. I want to destroy this pillar. And then once we do the Tuesday and Wednesday show, then we'll move on to pillar number two. Now, if you want the outlines, which you're going to need, because I want you to check out what I wrote down. I want you to verify if what I'm saying is true. You need these outlines for many, 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 many reasons. So email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Listen, you all have a blessed Lord's Day. You continue to pray for me as I continue to prepare and as I continue to contend for the faith, and I'll be praying for you. And Lord willing, we're going to be back together on Tuesday. Love you much in Jesus. Have a wonderful Lord's Day with your family. God bless you.